Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 65, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. Grace and truth shall mark the way where the Lord his own will lead, if his word they still obey and his testimonies heed. Sorry, that's number 1. Let's start with number 2. For thy name's sake, hear thou me. For thy mercy, Lord, I wait. 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 65.
Found in the Gospel according to Luke, and thereof chapter 24, beginning with verse 13. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke 24, beginning with verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that, while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know Him. And He said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto Him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And He said unto them, What things? And they said unto Him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and have crucified Him. But we trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not His body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that He was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but Him they saw not. Then He said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and He made as though He would have gone further. But they constrained Him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And He went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as He sat at meat with them, He took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while He talked with us by the way, and while He opened to us the Scriptures? And they rose up the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how He was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And He said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, My hands and My feet, that it is I Myself. Handle Me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see Me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we have heard it in these moments out of thy holy word, that it was also then the same as it is today. For we have heard of closed eyes, holding eyes, that they could not see thee. And is it not so also in this day, so often in the midst of thy people, that thou art so hidden? But we read that those eyes they were holding, then it was in thy power, and thou didst speak unto them, and their hearts they burned within them. Oh, may it be known also in the midst of us, a speaking, a hearing of thy voice. But even as that child Samuel called by thee, but he did not know thy voice. And so it was in that day. The ears they did hear, but the eyes could not see. Oh, that thou may remember such in our midst also today. Lord, then it belongs unto thee alone to explain the riddles of the hearts. For thou didst know before they had spoken to thee, that they conversed together, and that they were sad. And thou knowest that sadness also that is in the midst of thy church. But Lord, then they thought that thou wast a stranger in Jerusalem. And they thought that thou hadst no knowledge of all that perplexed them, all that was so real to them, all that made them sorrowful. Oh, then it is no new day today. Then in thy church that is a church from the beginning of the world, even unto the end of time, and it is the same riddles and that perplex their hearts. Lord, then it is so often that they say, and that the Lord, he knoweth not all that lives within me. Lord, we beseech thee, and that thou would come also in the day in which we live, and that thou would speak unto thy people, and that Thou would open their understanding that they may understand the Scriptures, and that Thou may make their hearts to burn within them, while Thou dost talk to them by the way, and while Thou dost open unto them Moses and the prophets. Oh, who can open it unto us but Thee? For all those mysteries, they are explained by Thee in the heart of Thy children as that great prophet. Lord, Thou art able to instruct them in the law. Thou art able to instruct them in the gospel. Thou art able to show to them their misery. And Thou art able to open unto them that free pardon that Thou hast purchased Thyself. Oh, then it all belongs to Thee. It is all in the hands of Thy Holy Spirit to hide it from our eyes or to open it unto us. And therefore we beseech it of Thee in this afternoon once again, Lord, that it may not remain with but a mind knowledge, but that Thou may give affection and love in our hearts, that there may be a new birth, a new life, new longings, hungerings, and thirstings after Thee. That is the portion of Thy church. That is the portion of those that are resurrected from the dead. Oh, they begin to feel, they begin to love. And so the fruits, they are born in the heart. The fruits of Thy death and Thy resurrection. Lord, that Thou may give them also among us in a great and a rich measure. That the mouths of Thy children also may be given to go open. When they may be given to say something of what Thou hast done. That Thou hast opened their eyes. And that they may tell something of the fact that Thou livest. Not only as what is taken from Thy word, but that which is experienced in their heart, then they shall tell something of what it means to them personally. O Lord, we beseech Thee. We cannot do without this blessing. Or we need it opened unto us as Thy servant, even in this hour, that we may know how to explain those mysteries that do take place in the heart of Thy children, that there may be food in Thy house. Lord, we beseech Thee, open our hearts and our understandings, both young and old together. Be Thou with all the congregation. Lord, Thou knowest every need when we do not. For the multitude of our transgressions brings upon us all our misery here below. And then it must be lived out as those who have sinned against Thee, and that there is a wrath from Thee. And then it is in every sickness, then it is in every ailment and every affliction in this world, that we experience just a little portion of that which is against us because of our sin. Oh, that it may also be the means of the opening of our eyes and the opening of our hearts in true love and affection for Thee, and that we still have 2 feet of ground here upon this earth to stand, and that we are not yet done away with in that eternal abyss as we so justly deserve. Do then look upon all those that suffer, those that are brought to the hospitals, those that have pain, those that suffer in their own homes. Wilt Thou care for them, each one in their place? Also those we understand that may commemorate an anniversary in this day. Lord, Thou knowest where they are also. Thou hast been so good unto them. Thou hast spared them hitherto. O give them indeed in this day to set up an Ebenezer. Hitherto the Lord has helped us. And oh, that thou may visit them also with thy presence and thy nearness. And do remember all those that miss those whom they love, those that are widows, widowers and orphans, and they are also in our midst, and thou knowest where that they are. In all the missing of this life, we beseech thee, give them day by day that help and that strength from above, to be able to go forward in this life which is experienced so often to be so empty. And when that love of their loved ones is now in the grave, O Lord, that they may experience and need and desire something of thy love and of that relation with thee that will never pass away. Remember our government, all those that rule and reign over us. Lord, thou knowest all that Satan does in this great country, how that he seeks to bring everything to ruin, and how that everything that is mounting up day by day against thy church and against thee, so that there is no place anymore for those who are not able to tolerate sin. Oh, then how much longer can it go on that we are permitted to gather together? Oh, how much longer that we will be suffered in this world to exist by our neighbors, when we will still call abomination evil? Oh, Lord, thou knowest that the days they are quickly approaching. It can be seen and felt all about us, that time that is quickly coming, that there will also be no toleration of those who are not tolerating the greatest of evils. O Lord, then what shall we? How shall we be able to stand in that day? Oh, shall we succumb under the great trials that are coming? Oh, that thou may grant us a hastening for our life's sake, truly a coming before thee. We need to be converted by thee. It is thy own declaration, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Lord, we beseech thee yet for some time, and for us and our dear children, wilt thou put away the evils? Wilt thou give men that may sit upon the thrones of judgment and to make our laws that may fear thy name? Oh, that thou may show unto us that thou art God, and that something of thy power and thy majesty may be felt also in these countries in which we live. Oh, that thou would turn us again, if it could please thee, from our side a seeming impossibility, but from thy side nothing is impossible. But when it is not thy will, and when everything will continue to decrease so very, very quickly, oh, that thou thyself may cause us to hasten for the sake of our life. For the time is short, and we go unto our end, and Satan is loosed more and more every day. Oh, that we may not be blind to everything, but cause thy word to receive a place in our hearts, we beseech thee. And wilt thou remember all those that study for the ministry? And wilt thou be on their right and on their left hand? And all those that do instruct them from day to day and from week to week? And wilt thou remember the theological school? Remember the curatorium also that hopes soon to meet again. Lord, could it please thee to work mightily and powerfully in the hearts of young men that may be given to go forth in this time in which we are living to bring that everlasting gospel, that word may still go forth, That those who are not able to deliver themselves from that awful pit, may it hear that there is a mighty arm. Oh, that there may still be those who may be given to know in their own life what that truth is by experience, and that may be gifted by Thee and given a mouth by Thee to speak even as Thy servant Moses. O Lord, that Thou Thyself may go before. Remember those that bring Thy word to the ends of the world. All those that are persecuted for the sake of Thy great name. Lord, we beseech Thee also for them. And that Thou may give them courage and strength. And that Thou may deliver from all the oppressors. Remember all those that lie in the prisons. And wilt Thou supply for the innocent and for the guilty alike. Be with all that may listen by church telephone, far or near. And wilt Thou give ears to hear and hearts to understand to each and every one of us together. And wilt Thou be with us also in this coming week. And as a consistory, we hope to meet once again. And wilt Thou give to us wisdom from above, that we may know how to lead the flock over which Thou hast made us overseers. Give us strength for every portion of our labor. And wilt Thou be with us in these moments, in this hour, in this afternoon, or when we may have considered for a few moments in this morning the fact of Thy resurrection from the dead. Lord, then it also needs to be applied unto the heart of each and every one of us. Then there needs to be made room for Thee. Oh, we beseech Thee then, and that Thou may so give it in this afternoon hour, and that we may know how to lay out from Thee and what the riddles are in the life and in the hearts of Thy children. And Thou Thyself may give Thy children a little something to eat. Could it please Thee, forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 227 all the stanzas. O Lord of hosts, how lovely Thy tabernacles are. For them my heart is yearning in banishment afar. We announce once again that the following persons have been examined by the consistory and wish to make public confession of faith. Joshua Busicum, Megan Busicum, Rosaline Janssen, Cornell Oskam, Pamela Van Driesten, Celia Vandenberg, and Shane Vandenberg. Lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory by Tuesday, April the 7th. The Lord willing, confession of faith will take place on the morning service of Sunday, April the 12th. The last collection today is for the Calvin Christian School. 227, all stanzas. Beloved congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in that portion that was read to you, Luke 24, and thereof the 36th verse, Luke 24, verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. So far the words of our text. The blessing of peace bestowed. First, the objects of this blessing, and second, the substance of this blessing. And afterwards, we wish to close with a few words of application. The blessing of peace bestowed. Peace be unto you. First, the objects of this blessing, and second, the substance of this blessing. And as they thus spake, who was that thus spake? We read here that it is the 11 that are gathered, and we read them that were with them, that is the disciples, and also the women, the followers of the Lord Jesus. They are gathered together. John says, the same day at evening, being in the first day of the week. The same day at evening, that is the same day as what? That is the same day as the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, which means that it is the evening of that day of Easter. It is a great blessing when God's children may be gathered together, especially when it is in a time of great straits, and when there are many riddles that are living within their hearts, that they can speak to one another about those things. Malachi says that then they that feared the Lord, they spake often one with another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before the Lord for them that feared the Lord and for those who thought upon his name. Or is our name also written in that book before the Lord of those that fear the Lord and those that think upon his name? What is the condition of all these that are gathered together? Then we see that they are not all in the same condition. Because we have heard something in this morning of those women. Those women who have been visited by an angel of the Lord, and whom the Lord has sent special instruction to in their life, that they may believe that word and work of God. We can read of the Apostle John, that the Apostle John was given to come to that grave. And we read those blessed few words that say, and he saw and believed. Oh, is it not a precious thing if we may be given to see and to believe? But there are many of these disciples that have seen nothing. And Mark writes that they mourned and that they wept. Then there is, of course, also Mary Magdalene, who has gone back to that sepulchre. And we know that the Lord has visited her there, that the Lord, he has appeared unto her when she was weeping and looking for his dead body. We can read of Simon Peter, how that it is spoken of him, all that is left out of the Bible, and that we do not read of that visit, but that it is spoken of him also, and that the Lord he hath appeared unto Simon, what has now taken place in that blessed visit of the Lord unto Simon Peter. And now it is evening, and we have heard of those two Emmaus travelers, and they have also received a visit from the Lord, and now they may also come and speak about everything that has taken place in their life. And what do we read? We read, neither believed they them. Thus it is not all the same in the church of God. One has greater privileges than another. For one, the Lord is coming sooner. For the other, the Lord is waiting some time. And the one, he is receiving more light. The other, he is given to walk for more time in that darkness. But there is one thing that is living in all of their hearts. And that is, I think you can tell me now, children, that is love. Is it also living in your heart? That is love for the Lord. It will be living in the heart of everyone who is called out of nature's darkness and brought into that marvelous light. And what will you feel in your heart? You will feel love to him, to that God. You will feel love to his day, love to his word, love to his institutions, and a desire for him. Then you will desire his favor, his communion, the shining of his face. All the affections, they are on that same Lord. But some of them are rejoicing. And others of them, they are weeping. Some of them, they may experience his life. Others of them, he is missing. We read of that second temple, and when they came to lay that foundation, that there was a mixture. And there was in the heart of all that people that a love for the Lord and for his day and for his institutions, that the Lord, he has brought them back again. That they begin to lay the foundation of that house of the Lord. But some are weeping and some are rejoicing. And so we find it also here. Because God's church, that is not all singing together, but God's church is singing by courses in the midst of this world. One day they are all going to sing together, but they are not singing together when they are here below. And yet they are assembled together. And yet, though there are some that are mourning and some that are rejoicing, they are still one in heart. Can you explain that, young people? You say that is a mystery. And that is so true. It is such a mystery that needs only to be experienced in your heart, and then you will understand it. And what does the apostle say? He says, as they thus speak. They could speak together. They could speak together. Why? Because they could understand one another. Because their affections, they were all one. That was all about one person. And those that have seen the Lord, they understood so well what that was in the life of those who had not yet seen him. As they thus speak, thus they may have communion with one another. And those that have seen him, they try to communicate to the others what light that the Lord has given unto them. They try to say it. And what do they experience? That they cannot give that light unto their brother. So Peter and Mary Magdalene and those other women, they may say to the others, he is risen. We have seen him with our eyes, and we have heard him with our ears. And he has spoken unto us, and we have seen his servants, we have heard it from his servants, from heaven itself. But they are completely unable to give unto their brethren what? Faith. Can you give unto your brother faith? That is done, young people, today. That one man, he gives another man faith. Don't believe it, because you can't find it in the Bible. Only look at it here. They can shut up the enemy that is without. They can put that enemy that is without behind locked doors. But they cannot shut out that enemy that is within. And what is that enemy within? Oh, they feel it. And that is an enemy. And that is an enemy to every one of God's children. And that is unbelief. You do not have to think, because God's children complain about unbelief, that unbelief is their friend. That they desire to be in that unbelief. That is not so. But it is only so that they are not able to deliver themselves out of that unbelief. And still, we find that all of them, with that unbelief, they are together. Even though it is late now at night, even now they have to meet with such caution, even though they are in such great fear, would we come together? Even though their circumstances, they are so distressing, still they are there together. And this is now the people to whom the Lord comes. This is now the people to whom the Lord appears and to whom the Lord shows himself. You do not read that the Lord came and showed himself to the Pharisees, to the scribes, to the enemies. After his resurrection, none of them have seen the Lord. Only those who were in need. Only those for whom he has considered it a profitable thing that he may appear and speak unto them. Thus, do we also bear along with us in this world that same need? You say it is all unbelief inside, all their sin and all their unbelief that did not keep him away. Is that not a wonder? No, he appeared to take away that unbelief. He appeared just for that purpose, that he may banish that unbelief. We see that in our second thought, the substance of this blessing as they thus spake. Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. Thus it was as they thus spake, knowing the condition of that people. Though they had so many shortcomings, Still, he will not break that bruised reed. He will not smoke that quench that smoking flax. And he is coming when those people, they are so little expecting that they are coming. And he is coming when they are just unable to solve their own riddles. And when they are unable to solve the riddles for one another. They came in that same day, we read, that he came in that same day that he arose. That is, that he began to show what was going to be his blessing upon his own day. That he may honor that day. And that he may sanctify that day. He came when that people are gathered together. Two men together on that way to Emmaus. Speaking about all those things that had taken place. And then he comes. And when these are all gathered together, then he is coming. Oh, he came when their hearts, they were burning. When their hearts, they were burning with love. When their hearts, they are burning with perplexities. Then the Lord is coming. Do you know when he was coming? When they were not speaking about empty things. When they were not speaking about this world. When they were not speaking about vain things. Then we read that he is coming. He had said that he would see them in Galilee. But we see here that it is love that suffers him not to tarry. Thus he is not slack concerning his promise. But he is coming even aforetime. He is coming when there are impediments in the way. He is coming when the door is locked. But all those impediments that may be in his way, they are not in the way of the Lord Jesus. Do you believe that? That there is nothing, how many things are standing in your way, that you say it is not possible, and that the Lord is coming, that the Lord is going to visit, that the Lord would speak, that the Lord would show, that the Lord would reveal himself. As he did in that day, oh, does your heart burn for this? Do you desire this? But is this an impossibility for you? Because you say it is sin that stands in the way. It is my life that stands in the way. Because it is unbelief that stands in the way. Oh, it did not stand in the way for these disciples. It did not stand in the way for Peter, it did not stand in the way for Christ himself to come unto his disciples. What an omnipotent power. Because what he did was overcome all the obstacles. Then we read that he is all of a sudden, he is young people, he is such a surprising God. Only listen to God's children. When they are least expecting it, that the Lord is coming over. And then he is breaking down all the barriers. He is taking away everything that they thought did stand in the way. And so the Lord Jesus, he is suddenly, though there are locked doors, he is standing in the midst of them. Not because he had a different body, not because he had a body that could pass through that door, no. Say, how did that happen? Congregation, how does that happen? How does everything happen that we do not understand? Because it also happened with Philip, did it not? After he had spoken with the eunuch that the Spirit caught him away and that he was found at Azotus, did Philip then have a different body? No, he had still the same body. And so the Lord Jesus, he has also risen with that same body. That he has gone down into that grave with, What is it that is that same body that he has received, that human nature from Mary herself? And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace be unto you." That is, or that was the normal form of salutation in that time amongst the Jews. Thus they wished for each other prosperity. They wished in an outward way and an inward way, in a temporal way, in a spiritual way, and that man he would receive prosperity, peace. But Christ gives this salutation its true meaning when he speaks unto his disciples, because there is nothing that comes out of the mouth of the Lord that is superficial and that is without meaning. Thus, he does not speak like you and I speak. But when the Lord speaks unto his people, then that which he speaks has great meaning. It is natural, of course, that those disciples, they are terrified when he has suddenly come among them and he quiets them. But in a special way, then we can read how that the Lord Jesus has, even before that he died, spoken about this peace unto his disciples. That he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Peace. Peace, he says, my peace. And that peace that he says that I give unto you. What is peace? You say, in the nation, that is when there is no war. And between individuals, when there is harmony between individuals. Thus, peace that is bringing security, peace that is bringing safety, peace that is bringing felicity, it is bringing happiness. In paradise, there was peace. Or there was true peace. There was peace between God and man. But in paradise, that peace was also lost. And have we now ever felt, have we ever now experienced something in our own life of that lost peace in paradise? Because we can see it also had has come in the midst of the world, even with the children of our first parents, when there was envy, when there was jealousy, and how that peace that was completely gone. What did the Lord say to Hagar concerning her son Ishmael? He said that he will be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand that shall be against him. Thus man, he is crying for peace on the earth. So it is in our United Nations that is supposedly going to bring us peace on the earth, when every nation, they are going to be able to speak to one another, and there shall be no more wars, and everything will be able to be solved by our deliberations. And so man is going to accomplish peace in the world. But we do not read in the Bible that such a peace is ever going to come. Not that we ought not to speak to one another as nations. Not that we ought not to try to avoid war. Terrible thing. But we can never expect that there is going to come peace in this world. Rather the opposite, that the closer that we come to the end of time, that the Bible is speaking about wars and about rumors of wars. Thus the Apostle Paul, he speaks to the Thessalonians about the second coming of the Lord Jesus. And he says just at that time that they are saying peace and safety, sudden destruction is coming upon them. That is now the world that Christ came into. And boys and girls, you know the song of the angels. When the Lord Jesus came into the world, then those angels sang, and they sang of what? They sang of peace. Peace on earth, they said. Goodwill toward men. No, that does not mean that there will come an end to the fighting and to the wars in this world. Because the Lord Jesus says, think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I am not come to send peace, but a sword. Because the gospel, that is the means of division. The gospel, that is the means wherein men are showing the hatred and the rebellion that is living in their hearts. Because all of hell that is stirred up against Christ and His church, and that freedom with which that gospel that is proclaimed unto men in this world, but now to the church of Christ. Christ, He says, peace be unto you. And what kind of peace does He speak about then? He speaks not about peace in this world. He had said that to His disciples, and that they had been better be ready, and that they are going to follow Him. That is, through persecutions and trials. And if they have hated Me, they are going to hate you also. And how shall we endure it? When all this world is more and more coming into a turmoil, and when it is so evident from everything that is around us that peace that is not going to be with us very much longer, and that we are more and more the objects of the hatred of the men in this world, Christianity itself, Christ and His church, and what shall ever uphold us through that great tribulation, that is this peace that Christ is speaking unto His own children. That is not peace in the world, but that is peace that is between God and my soul. Where does it come from? It is published by the Lord Jesus in His resurrection. As He has earned that peace in His own death. And now the Lord Jesus, He shows unto His disciples the tokens of that peace. What does He say? He says, behold My hands and My feet. He says, see now that it is I Myself who have bought for you and that peace in your soul between you and the Lord. Thus He says, not only am I alive, not only do you see Me, He says, but I was also dead. Thus we read of John on the Isle of Patmos, when the Lord comes to him, He says, I am He that liveth and was dead. And behold, He says, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death. Thus the Lord Jesus does not only say that there is peace, but he shows to his disciples the tokens of that peace. He gives them the evidences of the purchase of that peace, and he shows to them the grounds upon which that peace between God and their soul is to be received. As soon as he is coming forth from that grave, then the Lord is also publishing that peace, or his very life, that is a testimony of that peace, a testimony from the Father, and that Father, he is satisfied. But congregation, are we now a partaker of it? Because it is not enough that peace is bought. It is not enough that peace is merited, but we need to know, we need to experience that peace in our own soul. And that cannot be something that we are grabbing, because all that we steal we have to give back. But it needs to be something that is experienced as a gift from the Lord. But first we sing 230:1-6. Lord, thou hast greatly blessed our land. Thou hast brought back our captive band. And thy pardoning grace has made us free and covered our iniquity. 1 and 6 of Psalter 230. Congregation, by nature, we see nothing and we feel nothing of our breach, of that enmity, of that separation that is between God and our soul. King Joram, He said, "Is it peace, Jehu?" And Jehu said, "What peace? As long as the whoredoms and the wickedness of thy mother Jezebel are so many, what peace?" And yet we say, every day, peace, peace. When the Bible says that there is no peace. We read of Belshazzar, that he was eating and drinking in that awful night. And he had no idea that in those very moments wherein he was rejoicing and wherein he was promising himself peace, that that enemy that was entering into that city underneath the very walls. There can be no peace as long as sin and as guilt remains in our life. The Lord Jesus wept. He wept over Jerusalem. And he said, "If thou hadst only known the things which belonged to thy peace." But he says, "Now they are hid from thine eyes." Outside of that knowledge of Christ, not in our mind alone, but outside of the revelation of that knowledge, outside of the receiving of Christ by a true faith in our heart, we cannot have peace. But if we may be given to know the smallest part of it, then we come to know a little bit of a peace that passes, we read in God's word, all understanding. Even the elect, they are born under the wrath of God. When does there come peace for God's people? Objectively, that is already in eternity, and that is already in the mind of God, based upon Him that was slain from before the foundation of the world. Objectively, that peace that has been bought, we have heard it in the death of Christ. And something of that peace that has been made evident and clear on that resurrection morning. But now subjectively, when do that people receive something of that peace that is in regeneration? Regeneration, we heard this morning, that is flowing out of the resurrection of Christ as proof that there is peace between God and His church. But how is that peace experienced? That is such a mystery that those that know nothing of it will say that you are out of your mind. But when that peace that is received in a subjective way, in that moment, a man, he is losing all the peace felt in his heart. That is that false peace, that false security that we go over the world with, every one of us, calling our lands after our own name, from the day that we are born to the day that we die, that false peace in which a man is living and being cut off immediately in this world, the thread of his life, and dropping headlong into an eternal abyss, according to the Word of God. That false peace by which a man is going over this world, concerned with everything that is in this world, except the need of his soul, that false peace that is being taken away. So that a man has no rest anymore for his soul. A mystery before he could sleep in the night. And now it is the opposite, that he is laying awake in the night. Why? Because there is no peace. The thought of God brought me no peace, but rather made my fears increase. Do you ever go along with the psalmist? Then you may sing. And what is seen to be the cause, that is sin. David said, "There is no soundness in my flesh, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin." And still, there is something experienced in the life, in the heart of that people, of a blessed peace. So at the same time, that is, even from the beginning of that spiritual life. Can they explain it? No. But do you know what Asaph says? He says, "It is good for me to draw near to God." Can you explain that? When a man feels something of that wrath of God because of his sin, when justice is against me, good for me to draw near unto God? How is that possible? But so it is. That is the only explanation why that people will not trade their unrest for all the rest that can be found in this world. Have they assurance? No. Do they have certainty? No. But there are times when the love of the Lord that is poured out in their heart, wherein they may feel such a peace that they cannot explain. What is necessary? It is necessary it is necessary for a baby that he grows up. And so it is necessary also in the life of God's children that the Lord is leading them into the grounds, into the foundation of that peace that they may experience by a true faith, unexplainable, but by a true faith that they may experience in their life. That the Lord is leading them more and more into the substance of it, to instruct them what is the grounds of it, that they may receive more of an assurance in it. And not only so, but faith that must be given to appropriate that peace. Because what did the Lord Jesus say to his disciples? He said, "Peace be unto you." That is what is necessary for that church. You say, how does Christ today say, "Peace be unto you," unto the soul of his children? He is not here. Does he show them, young people, a vision? Does he do that to them in a dream? Now, that is all mysticism. Don't have to believe any of that. You say, how does the Lord do it? Well, out of what does that peace flow? That peace that is coming out of the death, it is coming out of the resurrection of Christ. Thus, when faith may appropriate, when faith may receive to itself something of that death of Christ, of that resurrection of Christ, then peace is the fruit of that appropriation. There can be no appropriation of that death of Christ unless faith sees that that death is suitable unto my own case. Thus, the Spirit of the Lord that is opening the eyes of that sinful man to see something, to see that it is the Word of God that is binding together that death of Christ and my own particular case. Thus, there can be no comfort in generalities. There is only one man, one type of man, that receives comfort out of that word, that is that Christ sits, that he eats with publicans and with sinners. Who is that man? Young people. Pharisee? Who receives comfort from that? Say it is not the Pharisee. No. There's only one man. That is the publican. Do you understand that? The Word of God that binds together Christ and a publican. And when a man has become such a publican, have you ever become one? When a man indeed has become in his life such a publican, and the Lord opens the eyes of that man to see that he is binding together Christ and those publicans, then that publican, he goes down to his house justified. The Word of God that is binding together the death of Christ with the ungodly. Are you such a man, a woman, a boy or a girl that goes over this world burdened with that ungodliness that is living from the crown of my head to the sole of my foot? Because when the Spirit of the Lord, He is opening to such a man by that simple word of God, and his eyes are going open, that Christ has died for the ungodly, then you understand how that peace that is flowing out of that death and that resurrection of Christ. There is no appropriation of that peace outside of this. That is the only way that that peace can ever be received in our heart. That the Lord is saying, peace be unto you. And all the rest that is presumption, don't believe it. Peace. Oh, when the Lord, He is coming over for that people, then they receive peace. Ask them once what is experienced. Ask them once what is felt. Ask them once what they may know in that moment. What happens to the affections, the love that is living in their heart. Ask them about that peace. What is that peace like? What peace in this whole world may compare to this? Because it is not merely peace with men. It is not merely peace among men. But it is peace between God and my soul. Paul, he says, there remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of God. When does that begin? Here below. Not in heaven. It begins here below. David says, thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Oh, it is a foretaste, a blessed foretaste of an eternal bliss, of an eternal communion. It is the substance of that bliss, of that favor, and of that communion. Oh, Christ, when He showed them the token of that peace that were in His hands and that were in His feet, then what do we read? Then we read that those disciples, they were glad. They were glad. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. A gladness begun here, and now they are singing. Sing forever and forever in His blessed presence. Amen. Lord of heaven and of earth, Thou knowest our hearts and all that we are privy to. Lord, that Thou may instruct us each and every one, we need to receive a new heart. We need to receive regeneration that all comes out of Thee and Thy work. And it needs to be known by every one of us what that peace is that passes all understanding. Lord, show unto us that reason, that breach that is between us and Thee. that we may be given to feel something of that breach, and that we may have all our rest, our false rest and our false peace taken away from us, that we may not be able to go so easy from this moment forward over the world. Oh, send us away from this place with a burden upon our back, and with a holy unrest going to a great eternity that can only be solved, that can only be put to rest by Thee. Lord, remember us in Thy mercy. Bring us safely to our places. Help us in the week that is to come, and all the labors of our hands, each one in our place in this world, that we may be given to meditate upon Thy word of truth, that there may be a little hope and expectation in our soul, from the consideration of Thy resurrection from the dead, a crying unto Thee, that Thou may give life to us and to our loved ones. Wilt Thou forgive the sins of this day in speaking and in listening, and grant us Thy indispensable blessing for Jesus' sake. Amen. 53:1-5. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie. In pastures green He leadeth me, in the quiet waters by. 1:3-5 of Psalter 53. Blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.